If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. We pray that you are having a great day. Paul, we're going to pray for you over there this morning. So, anyway, I pray that God is treating you well and that you are ready to go. We want to say thank you today to the folks at Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Through the years, I've had a lot of jobs that I have had to do out of necessity. Sometimes I had to do because my father told me I had to do them. One of the all-time least favorite jobs that I ever had was stacking hay. Had to go pick it up, they'd run it through the baler and 75-pound, blocks of hay, and then you'd have to pick them up. Well, I was the runt, and so they would send me all the way up into the top of the barn to get as much hay up there as possible, and that job was just no fun. Jackhammering concrete was no fun. Throwing papers at 2:30 in the morning, that was a life traumatic experience that I don't ever want my kids to have to duplicate. And the internet's pretty much wiped that industry out. But one of the things that I have done that I didn't care for was pouring concrete, and it was on a small scale, and I can't imagine the massive scales that it takes to pour foundations and know the thicknesses and the tensile strengths and the different elements that go in there and all of that sort of stuff. I can't even imagine the mental energy that I would have to spend to try and do that on my own. So I have a solution, and that is whenever I have a concrete job, I call the folks at Jets Concrete. So we used to have a pathway from the parking lot to one of the doors, and said we had people that I thought that I was going to be able to keep this floor just as shiny as a Publix or shiny as Target. It was a heavy wax floor and all that sort of stuff. Well, we couldn't keep a shine on it because people were tracking in all of this dirt and sand and everything like that, and it's just grinding the wax right off of there. And so one of the things that we did was we came up a solution. We called the folks at Jets Concrete and said, hey, can you pour us a sidewalk so that we don't track in as much stuff? And that helped some. We eventually just changed the flooring out entirely, and that's a much better solution. But every time that we have called Jets Concrete, they have come and poured ramps for us to make it easier for people to get in into the church. They have done a number of sidewalk projects. They do a great, great job. They do not just do small projects. They've done very large projects as well. So no matter the scope or the size of your project, I want to encourage you to call the people with decades and decades of expertise, experience, and the great work ethic, and they will get you a great job done, and you will be glad that you called them. 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. And today we're going to go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we are talking about spiritual truth, and that's what we're seeking. We are seeking spiritual truth. A lot of people, and when it comes to the Word of God, are seeking for things that will confirm what they already feel. But when it comes to the Word of God, my feelings aren't important. My opinions aren't important. The Word of God is important. So I don't contort or distort the Word of God to fit my opinions. I adjust my opinions to fit the Word of God. And so that's why we are talking about seeking spiritual truth. And so you can rest assured that everything that Jesus taught was true, because the devil is a liar and he's the father of it. There was no There was no sin in Jesus. There is no deception in Jesus. And so everything that he taught is true. That brings us to John chapter 7, verse number 4. Well, let's go back up to verse number 10. Verse number 10, and it says there, "But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" So we're going to stop right there. It's going to take us some days to get through this. So we'll just stop the reading right there, because the next part more transitions into the next few passages than the one that we are dealing with. So one of the feasts is going on, and Jesus had not gone up in a public manner yet. It was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the people began looking for Jesus at the feast. I want to encourage you to be looking for Jesus, not just on days of celebration or high and holy days. Don't just look for Jesus at Christmas. Don't just look for Jesus at Easter. Don't just look for Jesus at Thanksgiving. Look for Jesus every single day. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. God gives us a Sabbath rest. That's not just a rest for one day of the week, but it is a rest that we can enter into. Jesus sat down in John chapter 4. He sat down at the well because he was tired. He was hungry, and the disciples had gone off to get him food. When they got back, they found him refreshed. They found him invigorated, and they found him ministering. And he told them, he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything at all about. And so many times it is our source of restoration and refreshing is not just from giving a glass of water. He who gives, you know, or refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's not just through taking a vacation or taking a golf outing. I'm preaching to myself here just a second. But instead, it is finding that spiritual rest that God makes available to us. And so God is not just Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord over every single day. That means that there is refreshing, there is strength, there is rest that is available to us every single day. And so we should look for Jesus. Now, when they couldn't find him, there was complaining among the people concerning him. So there were a bunch of different opinions. Some people said he's good. Other people said, no, on the contrary, he deceives people. And so you've got people who are recognizing that he speaks truth. Other people who didn't like what he was saying said, no, he's deceiving the people. Now, I will tell you this. You either believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only way to the Father, the way, the truth, the life, or you don't. You cannot just believe that he's a good person and yet not believe the things that he says. I have never in my life accused a person who habitually, intentionally, and routinely lied to me. I've never referred to them as a good person. But if he was speaking the truth and he was good, not because somebody had declared him morally good, but because he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, then you recognize that he's truth, that he's speaking truth. If he's, you know, so there's the option of him speaking the truth. There's the option of him deceiving people. The other option is that he was deceived himself and he thought himself to be somebody that he wasn't. Now, the resurrection goes to really undermine that theory. So there are a lot of different theories that people have, and they try and water down. There are some people who theologically do not like the thought that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God the Son. They can't embrace that, so they try to water it down a little bit and say, well, he was a Son of God. Well, he was a prophet and all of that. Jesus was the Son of God. So you either believe that he's lying or he's crazy, or you believe that he's the truth, and that's the biblical position, and you need to embrace that. And like I say, you need to look for him. You need to listen for him. I was watching a video was on social media. One of my friends posted, and I got to tell you, I am so thankful for friends that I had in high school that I really didn't know where they were spiritually, but later on in life, they make it known that, again, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings a great deal of comfort to me knowing their faith. And this person showed a video of a comedian by the name of Michael Jr. I believe he attends Robert Morris's church, Gateway Church, in the Dallas area. And he showed a video of when his daughter was born, and he said, now this video is about 2.5 minutes into her being alive, and that little baby girl is crying and kicking and screaming. Excuse me. She's just not happy at all, and her daddy begins to speak to her and begins to call her by name. And I can tell you this, 2.5 minutes old, you don't know what your name is. But he just begins to speak to her in a calming voice and just gets her settled down and says, look, baby, it's going to be okay. This is Daddy. Daddy's here. And just listen. And she stopped crying. And then he says, now I want to show you a second video. This is about 7 minutes into her life after she was born, and she's going through all of that stuff again, and he goes through the routine all over again, and he says, look, baby, it's going to be okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's going to take care of you. It's okay. Just settle down. And immediately the baby begins to stop crying, stop kicking, and this time she opened her eyes, and this was what his point was. He said, a lot of times you think that your world has changed rapidly and that you're out of control. That's kind of what happens whenever you have lived your entire existence inside your mother's womb, and all of a sudden you find yourself outside of your mother's womb, and now you're having to try and adjust to this new reality, and it's disruptive. It's unsettling. And he said, but if you will listen to your father's voice, and if you will open your eyes and fix your eyes on your heavenly father, he will bring peace to your life, and you will know that you can trust him, that he's going to resolve the issues that you're dealing with, and you know that he's got you. And I was like, wow, that's a really good micro sermon right there. That if we will listen to Jesus, if we will fix our eyes on Jesus, that it will calm us down and we can have a great deal of faith and trust in him. So these people have all of these different opinions of Jesus, and they're not speaking openly because of the religious leadership. They said, look, if anybody is talking about him openly, it's not going to go well for you. So Jesus shows up on the scene here in verse number 14. He goes up to the temple, and he began to teach them. And as he's teaching, the Jews, the people who were listening, even the religious leadership that are there, they are amazed. They are marveled. And they declare this: how does this man know letters having never studied? So they said, how can you know that when you didn't have the same religious training that we did? I can tell you this: every person starts off a sinner. The truth of God is available to everybody. The kingdom of God is the ultimate level playing field, in that if anybody reaches out for God, he will find that he is not far away. He is very near. If we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And so that's why you can have a person that just comes in, puts their faith in Jesus Christ, and begins to seek God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And before you know it, they can know things that other believers who've lived as a Christian for a long time, but they never applied themselves, they never searched things out, they never went through the developmental process, all of a sudden that new believer can pass them up, and people say, well, how is that possible? That's not fair. You know, in the congressional system, longevity is what gives one merit. And so they refer to senators as the senior senator from a state or the junior senator of the state. And the only difference is which one of them got there first. So here about 10 or 15 years ago, there was some transitions that happened, and there were some people that said, look, just because you've been around there a long time doesn't mean that you deserve to be in the leadership. And then all of a sudden people started getting pushed aside. They said, wait a minute, I'm one of the most powerful people in my party. And they said, congratulations, you're now unemployed. And in the kingdom of God, it is not just about longevity. Longevity is a tremendous testimony, but it is, are you going to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? The people of Jesus' day said, if you didn't have this teacher, if you didn't have this rabbi, if you didn't go to the school where Nicodemus taught, in Paul's day, if you didn't grow up under Gamaliel's ministry, it was like the Harvard or the Yale or the Ivy League schools of the day. By the way, I will just tell you this about those Ivy League schools. All of them started as conservative ministerial training grounds, and one by one, they became more and more detached from the Word of God. And whenever one of those things would move away from a traditional Bible-based preaching ministers training school, then people would say, well, if you've got control of that one, we'll just go over here. And listen, if you study history, you're going to see that even today there are people that started off believing the Word of God, and now they don't. I had a young man stop by our church a couple of weeks ago, and he pulled up. He was part of an evangelism team that we had come in 1999, and it impacted him to such a degree that he brought his wife, he brought his son, just to show them, you know, where they came and reach the community. We did all sorts of outreach that week. We've done that a couple of times through the years. And I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, some of the people who are part of that evangelism team, they don't even believe in God anymore. They don't even claim to be a Christian anymore. And that made me sad. I can tell you this, that letters in front of your name, credentials from man, those may have limited effect, but I will tell you what has tremendous effect when it comes to the kingdom of God, and that is this: knowing God, knowing his word, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the wisdom of God, being faithful, studying to show yourself approved unto God. All of those things have merit, and it'll cause people to say, how do they know that? How do they know that? I was in the retail industry for over a decade, and at one point in time, the shoe store that I had managed lost their lease, and there was a short experimental stint in selling furniture, and I did not like selling furniture. It wasn't that I was opposed to selling furniture. It just wasn't the same type of sales. It was, you know, you had to negotiate your price and all of that sort of stuff. And I just wasn't comfortable with a person negotiating a great deal and another person not negotiating, getting the same product and paying a different price. That just didn't seem right to me. So, as part of my training, they had me read this book, and I happened to recognize the name. He came from the same town I grew up in. He had gone bankrupt over and over and over and over and over again. You know, every time he would go bankrupt, he would come back with a slightly different name, but everybody knew it was the same person. And he was recognized as an expert in his field, even though he didn't have training. There was a death in his family when he was very young, and he ended up getting a job, and he decided he wanted to work in the furniture industry. And he went, and he did not have the degrees behind his name, but that did not mean that he was uneducated. It did not mean that he did not know his industry, because he would break it down. He would study it. He studied for himself. I want you to know that there are some colleges that you can learn the things that they teach their students, because they've made those courses available online. You won't get credit for it. You won't get a certificate. You also won't get the huge debt that people accumulate whenever they go to those classes. But you can get the information. At this point in time, I'm not really interested in another abbreviation. I'm not interested in another title. But I am interested in knowing God, how to serve him better, and how to be more effective in ministry. They said, how does this man know this stuff? How does Jesus know this stuff? He's never studied. And we've got just a few minutes here. Let me address verse number 16. And it says, she answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. There's been a lot of discussion over the past couple of years on who gets to decide what is taught. So I have done some teaching. I taught in a school in Texas. I taught 4th, 5th, and 6th grades. It was a little private Christian school. I taught multiple grades, multiple subjects, but I didn't come up with my own curriculum. I was given the material, and they said, this is what you're going to teach. Now, how I taught that, how I got the students to learn the things that they were supposed to learn, that was on me. And so the people in charge, they were the ones who controlled that subject matter. Did you know that some of the earliest schools were actually in churches? Some of the earliest books on learning how to read in America was the Bible. And we have gotten a long way away from that. When I was growing up, there were things that took place in the classroom, and now those things have been deemed politically incorrect, and now they're also banished. You can't do the things that were done in school when I was growing up. And I will tell you this, you don't get the same results either. Oh, sure, the kids that are growing up now, they can program your computer, they can make their computer and their phone do more than what you can do. They can solve technological issues and all of that sort of stuff. But can they function in the real world? And so Jesus said, my doctrine, my teaching, my instruction isn't mine. It belongs to the one who sent me. Please recognize, everyone has someone in authority over them. If you don't have anyone in authority over you, you are in a very dangerous position. Even Jesus said, the things that I teach, it's not mine. It belongs to the Father. Jesus' method of action and his method of speaking were simply boiled down to this. The things that I do are the things that I see my Father doing. The things that I speak are the things that I hear my Father speaking. And if you'll allow me, here in John chapter 7, the things that he teaches are the things that the Father wants him to teach. So I'm that's why we're going through this seeking truth and what is spiritual truth. Because if you're not going to find it in the world, if you're not going to find it in government, if you're not going to find it in the home anymore, you better go back to the original source, which is the Word of the Living God, and say, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to what Jesus wants us to know. And I will tell you, if you eliminate the Word of God from a foundational aspect of a person's life, you will get a different result. That life will not be able to withstand the storms of life. Instead, when the winds and the waves beat about it, if there's no word inside there that will enable them to survive the storm, the house will collapse, and then you're in repair and recovery mode. We want to set young people, we want to set up men and women to succeed, and that's why at Merit Assembly of God, we want to teach the Word of God. And that's why we're here on the Refresh Radio program. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on 91.5 FM. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Intoxicating you are to me, illuminating you are to see, truly breathtaking you are to breathe, sending my head swimming you are. You see, and I've lost my mind. I'm sure I finally need to apologize for my lack of inhibition, for my belligerent